Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. All right. You still out there? All right, here we go. We're going to get all up in this, and it's going to be good. So we started last week. We started this series on redemption. And Miss Avery asked me what the title of this series actually is, and I'm just going to call it Living the Redeemed Life. Living the redeemed life. You know, when you live a certain kind of life, you take on the nature and the characteristics of that lifestyle, don't you? If you live a life of crime, you go around and do a lot of crime, right? But if you live a life of redemption, then you go around living like you're redeemed. But here's the problem. The problem is when the redeemed has become kind of a church word, hasn't it? Unless you're a shopper, then it's a coupon word. Right? I'm going to read. I got to go redeem this coupon. Expiration date's coming up. How many know there's no expiration date on Jesus' redemption? Aren't you glad for that? Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That means you can't be too bad for his redemption. Yeah. Come on. You can't make too many mistakes to be part of his redemption.
That's right.
Amen. He provided a redemption, but here's the other part of that problem. Is because it's become more of a, especially in church, it becomes more of a just a religious term. You know, when you say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and everybody goes, okay, I'm redeemed. Okay, but if I came up to you and asked you, what does that mean? Would you be able to tell me? Would you be able to tell me what it means to be redeemed? Or is it just a word you heard in one of the songs? You heard us talking about it. You heard us quote that scripture. So you know that, okay, I'm a Christian, so I think I'm supposed to say I'm redeemed. So I'm redeemed. But what good does that do if you don't really know what you're saying you are?
Yeah.
So that's what we're getting into. All right. So this week, and I kind of introduced it last week, but we're going to start talking about, well, and I used one of the words last year. I didn't really use the Greek word. I didn't pronounce it. But what I'm doing over the next few weeks is we're going to go, there are four words in the New Testament that is used for the word, and it's connected to the word redeemed. And each one of them have a different meaning. But every one of them applies. So we're going to talk about what these words mean. I want you to have a good grasp on what your redemption is. So when the enemy comes in, you already know, nope, I'm redeemed from that. What do you think it means when he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so? When do you need to say it the loudest? When you're under attack. Right? And you need to be telling the enemy, no, that's not part of my covenant.
Yeah.
Did you know you have a covenant with God? When Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, that blood had a purpose. That blood's purpose was to seal the covenant that he made with God on our behalf. And that covenant is still in application today. It's a covenant with no expiration date. There's no statute of limitation on it. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so let's get into this. All right. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And while you're turning there, let me ask you this question. Has anyone ever noticed in reading through the gospel, or not the gospels, but in reading through the epistles, which is, you know, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, all those kind of books, everything after the book of Acts, basically is what I'm after. Everything that Paul wrote, the apostle Paul wrote after the book of Acts, right? So has anybody in reading through that part of the New Testament ever noticed how much Paul references slavery? You're free from slavery. You're no longer a slave. Does that kind of ring a bell? Okay. Have you ever noticed how much he does that? Well, I'm going to give you a little bit, just a little bit. I'm not going to bore you with tons and tons of information, but though it's not boring to me, I find it very fascinating. But I'm not going to give you a ton of information, but I'm going to give you little glimpses into why Paul used that kind of verbiage. Why did he use those kind of words? Right? All right, so before we do that, let's read Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Is anybody here having as much of a good time as I am right now? Hallelujah. Oh, I love the Word of God, and I love sharing it. And hopefully you enjoy learning it. Amen. All right, here we go. Watch this. You're going to get some stuff today that I'll be bold enough to say that most of the body of Christ has no clue about. So it's going to be good. So watch this. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says this. It says, He is so rich in His in kindness. Who's He talking about? God. Talking about God. Verse 5, God says, God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to us as dear son. Okay, so just kind of set this up. All right, so He says, He, God, is so rich in kindness. Is anybody aware that God is kind? Because a large part of the body of Christ goes around thinking God's mad, and that's why they're sad. We mentioned that last week, right? You see pictures of Jesus, He looks sad. And they think that God's mad, and that's why most Christians are either sad or mad, right? But that's not the Jesus, and that's not the God we know. God is very kind, and God loves you. He's not even in a bad mood with you. Amen? He loves you very much. All right, now watch this. He says, He, God, is so rich in kindness and grace that He was so rich that He decided, hey, I'm going to purchase their freedom with the blood of my Son and forgive their sins. He was so rich in kindness that He says, that the Bible says that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son. Now that's a lot of love. That's a lot of love. Amen? So He purchased our freedom from what? From sin. But let's take it a little bit further than just sin. He purchased our freedom from the slavery of sin. Not just sin, because when we say that, it's almost we kind of lose what's really being said there. But He purchased us with the blood of His own Son from the slavery. And you're going to see that in some other passages. From the slavery of sin. All right? So now let's talk about this slavery. Because back in Ephesus, in this time of this being written, and back in that time, Ephesus, they say that there was about 250,000 people that lived in Ephesus. 250,000. Got that number? About 60,000 of them were slaves. See, now that changed Paul's writing, gives it a little bit more meaning, doesn't it? Why did he keep talking about this slavery of sin? Because a large portion of the body of Christ were slaves. A large portion of the people that gave their life to Christ, not all of them, but a large portion, 60,000 of them, or 60,000 people that lived in Ephesus were slaves. Right? And a large portion of the church were slaves. Gave their life to Christ while they were in their slavery. So Paul is speaking to slaves about slavery and how that Jesus Christ came to free them from their slavery. Amen? I bet you that's a historical fact you didn't know. Hallelujah. I didn't even know that till about a week ago. So I, some of these facts, I knew what Jesus came for, but I mean, when you really begin to dig into what redemption is, when you begin to find out, and it's so important, isn't it? Not just to say, hey, I'm redeemed, but it's important to know what you're redeemed from. You and I used to be slaves to sin. I used to be one, you used to be one, and hopefully we're not that anymore. Now, Jesus came to free us from it, but here's the problem, because people don't know what they've redeemed from. They're still being held in bondage in their own minds to things they've already been set free from. See? And so God wants to change that. And what God wants, I want. So I want to change that. So I'm going to help us understand what this situation really is. So some of the things you need to understand about slavery back then, it was like this big old massive slave market. Now, a lot of these Greek words that I'm revealing to you, they were taking from that market, the slave market, from the marketplace. But these specific words I'm going to be using is taken from the slave market, not just the marketplace, but the slave market. And what the slave market was, a very horrible, despicable, degrading, demeaning place. And what they would do is they would bring these slaves in and they would stand them up there, and they were there for these slave buyers to come and buy these. You think, you know, a big popular thing today is human trafficking, right? Everybody's all up in the air about human trafficking. Thank God, they should be. But it's been a lot longer. It's gone way further back than the 2000s. It's really coming more and more to light today. Right, sex trafficking, but you know, the A21 that we support, that we give to, and we sow into, they are about liberating people from human trafficking. It's not just sex trafficking. I mean, they trick men into coming to places and they make them slaves, feed them very little, clothe them very little, could care less about their health, really. Just so they can make them work in some of the parts of the world that is just like, and they have no way out. Right? That's what A21 does. Now, that I didn't preach this to make a plug for them, but it's a perfect place for it. But the slave market has gone back way back before now. In fact, when Jesus showed up on the earth in the form of that little baby that we like to celebrate every Christmas, when Jesus showed up on the earth, the world was deeply ingrained into the slave market of sin. I mean, this world was a nasty, you think our world's nasty now, and there's a lot of problems. But why are they having those problems? Because they're trapped in the slave market. They're trapped in the slave market of sin. When Jesus showed up, I mean, if generation after generation after generation just kept delving deeper and deeper and deeper into the slavery of sin. And sin will just absolutely destroy your life, right? And some of the things that would happen is they would bring these slaves up, and then they would bring them up for inspection. And these slave owners would be able to come up to them, and they had to test the merchandise. And so they were allowed to scream at them, cuss them, spit in their face, slap them, beat them. Why were they doing that? Well, depending on what job they wanted them to do, they wanted to know how much endurance does this slave have? Can they take it without giving me any pushback? Can they take it without me giving me any problems? So they were allowed to do all these things. And then if they really wanted to know if they were really healthy, they would take their head and they would put something right here, and they would shove their mouth open, push their head back, open their mouth to examine their teeth. Because if their teeth were healthy, they figured they could handle a lot. But if their teeth were rotten, that slave didn't sell for as much. Despicable, isn't it? Right? And so that's the marketplace that Paul is writing from when he talks about, he was in Ephesus, he knew something about the slave market. And he also recognized that that's what the enemy is trying to do with us. He pushes us to see how much he can take, all this kind of stuff. And then once the enemy's done with you in one area, he tries to put you in slavery in another, from one vice to the next vice to the next vice to the next vice. But here's the good news today. Jesus came and shed his blood to free you from the slave market. Amen? That means no sickness is in Jesus' market, right? Jesus came and freed you from the slave market of sin. And when he freed you from the slave market of sin, he's like, I took the stripes on my back so you could be healed. Now, I may not be describing your personal experience, but I am describing to you what the Word says we have in our covenant with God. See, some people like to come up and say, well, I mean, I know you say that, but this is what I've experienced. I ain't preaching your experience. I'm preaching what you can experience. Right? This is what we have as our rights as believers. It's what the Bible tells us we have. Amen? All right. All right. So, but the Bible tells us here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that he is so rich in his kindness. Now that you have a little bit better, that's just a small glimpse of the slavery market. I mean, it was horrible, right? And the more a buyer looked at a prospective slave, the higher the price went with the auctioneer. See, we all know you don't go to a car lot and just get in at. The worst thing you can do is go to a car lot and get enamored by a vehicle. Because if they can tell how enamored you are with this vehicle, they're like, no, we don't have to drop the price very low because they'll buy it at the higher price. So it was the same case there. I mean, they would try not to get too in that, but the more time they spent with a slave, the higher the price went. But here's what the situation was in as far as the slavery of sin. The demand, the price that was demanded was the blood of Jesus. And God says, I'll pay it. I'll send my son, and I'll allow him to hang on a cross and shed his blood for all of humanity, so that they could come back and have a relationship with me again. Did you not read what that verse says? He is so rich in kindness. God is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his own son. Isn't that beautiful? That makes me not want to sin. That makes me not want to be held captive to the slavery of bondage of any kind. I just want to please my Father. I don't have to. It makes me want to. I mean, man, if somebody does something super awesome for you, man, you just want to like, what can I do to serve you back? How can I bless you back? I want to do something good for you. This makes me want to love my Father. It's not about religious do's and don'ts. Right? God's not interested in the religious do's and don'ts. He's interested in a relationship with Jesus Christ and us having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I love that. All right, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Is this helping anybody? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I know none of us really like hearing about the slavery part and what they went through and how all that worked. And that was just a small glimpse of what it was really like. I don't even know if I could put into words how deplorable and how horrible of an experience that was for a slave. And there was two different kinds of slaves on the markets too. There was private slaves and there was public slaves. Now the private slaves sold for less and were treated far worse, right? But anyway, it's a little glimpse there. All right, so let's look at this, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because what we're talking about is living the redeemed life. I want you to see what the slavery of sin was like so you can see what Jesus' blood actually redeemed you from. I believe there are some people still living in some areas of slavery to the enemy because they just don't know that God's redeemed you from that, too. Amen. He's redeemed you from every sickness, every disease. He's redeemed you from depression and oppression. He's redeemed you from anxiety attacks. He's redeemed you from having a bad day. Amen. Now, what that does not mean that the enemy is never going to attack you, but that's where you go, whoop, I'm redeemed. You need to go reread the contract, because there's things in my contract that you either are trying to trick me out of, which is most likely the case. The devil knows what's in the contract. He's been dealing with contractual people for years. And when I say contractual people, he's been dealing with redeemed people for years. And he's been trying to dupe people and trick people. Some have allowed him to do it, but I'm here to teach you not to let the enemy trick you out of your covenant rights. That's what we are. Why? Because we're redeemed. We're redeemed from every, and I said it last week, we're not only redeemed from sin, but we're redeemed from every aspect of the effects of sin. Every bit of it. We're redeemed from it. We don't have to put up with it. We don't have to take it. Amen. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All right. So look at this. Now watch this. In verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. All right. It says this. It says, for God bought you with a high price. God bought you. He was so rich in kindness, right? Then he bought your freedom. He purchased your freedom. Well, here it says, for God bought you with a high price. What was that price? The blood of Jesus. The blood of his son. And then he goes on and says, so you must honor God with your body, right? It's not so much about I must do it. I did. I want to honor God. God, what can I do to honor you, Lord? Wow, what you did for me is just like, it's mind-blowing. All that God has freed us from because we're redeemed. Amen? All right, let's look at that word bought. He says you were bought with a price. What does that word bought mean? It comes from the Greek word agorazo, and it means this. It means to purchase in the marketplace. It is used to denote the purchase of a slave out of the slave market. Right? He bought us. He purchased us out of the slave market of sin. All right? This word also means to transfer ownership from a seller to a buyer. Remember that verse that we might have used it last week? It says he transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son, into the son of his love. Amen? So we've been bought out of that. We've been bought out of having to have bad attitudes. We've been transferred out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. See, we just finished a big old series on the love of God. Well, that series is never finished. It's always intertwined with everything else we teach, but you know what I'm saying. Right? But we've been bought out of that. And we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness, out of everything that is evil, into everything that is good. Let me say that again. We've been transferred out of the kingdom of everything that is evil into the kingdom of everything that is good. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes down from God, from the Father of lights, in whom there is neither variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Any men here have any of those variable speed drills? It means it has a motor in it that the speed can vary. God doesn't vary in his promises. He is not a God that oscillates back and forth between two opinions. Well, they're kind of ticking me off today. Oh, they're doing pretty good today. I kind of like them. Oh, they're starting to tick me off again. No. God's like, I love you. If you'll trust me, I can help you. If you will just realize who you are and that you have been redeemed from sin. Hallelujah. God has redeemed, I'm just meddling now. God has redeemed us from any substance that we feel like we need to cope with things. He's redeemed us from that. Like I said, he has redeemed us from anything and everything that is connected to sin. Anything and everything. We don't need that. I remember years ago, for the longest time, I wouldn't even drink coffee. And I still don't drink coffee on a regular basis. Now I'm told I'm not supposed to have coffee past Tuesday because it affects my throat for Sunday. But before that even, I made a decision. I never wanted to have anything in my body that my body depends. And I'm not telling people to quit drinking coffee because my wife would kick me out of the house. So, but what I'm saying is, me personally, I didn't want anything. I didn't want my body to be dependent upon anything to get me going in the morning. And because it proved out, because then I did start getting into coffee, and I started having me a coffee every day. And then the very thing that I didn't want to happen did happen, in the fact that a morning or two came when I couldn't have my coffee. I didn't have time for it. Now what have I got? Headaches. And why do I have headaches? Because my body had become dependent on something that I found myself in a time that I wasn't able to get access to. So now I'm having to deal with these caffeine headaches, and they suck. They are horrible, because that ibuprofen won't get rid of them. And I'm like, forget that, cutting back on the caffeine. So then I got down to where now, when I do have a coffee, it's a decaf. Because I'm really just after the flavor. I never really meant for it to be something that give me a pep in the morning. Now, if you drink coffee and that's your purpose, hey, enjoy it. And hopefully you don't ever have to go without it and get a headache. But my point is, I didn't want to be bound to anything that dictated to me how I was going to feel. Right? And so that's why this, I mean, knowing that I'm redeemed, I don't want to be bound to anything. And knowing that the blood of Jesus came to redeem me from anything and everything that would try to dictate to me how I'm supposed to feel, meaning somebody said something and it hurt my feelings. Now it's dictated. Now I'm having a bad day because of what they said to me. Come on, somebody. Somebody did something to me. Now it's dictating to me how I'm going to think the rest of the day. No, we are redeemed from that. We're redeemed from it. We don't have to take that stuff on. We don't have to allow bitterness to come in. We don't have to allow unforgiveness to be in our hearts. See, and we're talking about stuff that maybe you didn't think about when you think about being, I'm redeemed. You've been redeemed from all this. You don't have to live with this mess. You don't have to live with bad attitudes. Amen? Okay. Glory to God. We'll see what else the Spirit brings up, Holy Spirit brings up while I'm teaching. I'm just flowing in the Holy Ghost, okay? So, all right, look, so he says here, it's this word, agorazo, is it for the word bought, that he bought us. It means to purchase in the marketplace, used to denote the purchase of a slave out of the slave market, to transfer ownership from one seller to a buyer. It just simply means redeemed. We are redeemed. Hallelujah. All right, go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 14, and I'm almost done. Everybody said, thank God, this is getting tight. Like I always say, it may be tight, but it'll be right. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I would much rather God correct me and get me fixed than to continue to live not knowing what all belongs to me. Amen. Glory to God. All right, look at this. Romans chapter 6. And now hang with me in this series because it gets better. Right now I'm just trying to help you to get a picture of what the enemy has tried to do. And this is the atmosphere. This was the time that Paul was writing in. So when you see Paul talk about writing that he has freed us from slavery, now you have a better idea of what he's talking about. Amen. He wasn't just picking random words and, oh, this will fit good with this statement. No, he was surrounded by that market. But he is trying to help us see, and he was using the natural market stuff that was going on to help us see spiritual truth. Remember, Jesus did that a lot, didn't he? They were called parables. He used natural stories to convey and communicate a spiritual truth. And that's what Paul was doing with this. All right, so here we go. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Romans 6, 14. These are some small little numbers. Let me find that thing. There it is. Sin is no longer your master. Thank you for those two small amens. Hallelujah. Okay. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under, watch this. This is powerful. Watch this. You no longer, because of the blood of Jesus, you no longer live under the requirement of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. See, before you give your life to Christ, and here's where a lot of people, they might want to argue with you, but it's the truth nonetheless. Let them argue on, right? But before you give your life to Christ, most people think, no, dude, I don't need that crutch. I don't need that weakness called Christianity. They don't even know what Christianity is, or they would never call it weak. But anyway, how come you can't walk in love? I don't have to. I ain't letting nobody walk on me. No. You can't help yourself but respond that way. But a believer, you want to talk about tough. We are tough people. Because what do? We press it out. People in the world, they're choking themselves with the pressure of how people are treating them, and they're all up in the air about it. But a believer, man, I love you anyway. I'm going to go bake you a pie. Just because I love you so much. Hey, you want to sit down and have a piece together? You know, what was I even talking about? I don't know. I don't even know. Yeah, thank you. We are no longer, as believers, we're no longer under the requirement of the law, and we're no longer under the requirement to sin. Because now we've got someone that had purchased the price of our freedom. And when we invite Jesus to be the Lord of our life, he comes into our life and he makes things different. We begin to see people differently. Even if they irritate us, there's still something on the inside of you. Oh, just your flesh wants to slap them, but your spirit's going, no, just love them. Right? Go buy them a gift certificate and give it to them. Flesh says, well, now that you bought that gift certificate, give it to yourself and leave them alone. But your spirit's going, no, you want to be a blessing. See, this is not just some mental game that we play called Christianity. The Spirit of God moves into your life, moves into your heart, and begins to speak to you and lead you and guide you and show you there's a better way of living. Amen? It is a powerful spiritual thing. All right, let's keep going. So 6 and verse 14, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirement of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Amen. Jump down to verse 17. Verse 17, it says this. It says, thank God, once you were slaves of sin. Once you were slaves of sin. Paul's like, thank God, though you were once a slave to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. You were once a slave of sin. That's past tense verbiage. That means you're no longer a slave to the sin. You've been redeemed from it. If you're here today and you're like that, you got that. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life I've had this repetitive. I mean, I know that I'm redeemed, but I keep struggling with this repetitive thing. Maybe it's chewing people out in traffic. I'm still working on that one, by the way. But I'm getting better. Are you getting better? Okay. Right? Or maybe it's pornography. Or maybe it's drugs. Or maybe it's unforgiveness. Right? Gossip. Ooh, that's a good one. Right? I mean, it's a bad thing, but it's a good that they brought it up. You know, just making sure it's clear, right? We're not saying gossip is good. It is not. You know? But we've been delivered from all that. You don't have to do those things. Now, for some of you, it may be a habit that needs to be broken. So it'll take a little bit of time, a little process. You'll go to do it, and you're like, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to do that. But if you keep working on it, if you keep actively working on it, right? Remember what we said? We come here today with our hearts open, receptive, and responsive. We're taking responsibility to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. So as you consistently work on it, you can actually get to where it's not even a thing. Right now it's a thing, but it can get to where it's not a thing. But that happens through a process of time where you're continually working. You go to do it, and you remember this. You know, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to. No, that's not part of my redemption. I'm redeemed from that. I'm redeemed from that. I don't have to act that way. I don't have to say those things. I don't have to gossip. I don't have to lie. I don't have to be deceptive. Did you know that even saying, speaking the truth in a deceptive way makes it 100% a lie? Let me say that one more time. Speaking the truth, because I've had people, well, I didn't actually lie to them. I just said it in a way that they didn't know what I really meant. So, in other words, you tricked them to think something different than what you really, which is called deception. Everybody nod your head. Yes. Yes, that's what that is. The Bible says Jesus never told a lie. Nor did he ever deceive anyone. Right? So we got to be careful with that. You know what? You know what the beautiful part is? You've been redeemed from it. You can work on it. The Spirit of God, he's called a helper. Because he helps us. Come on. Why am I saying it this way? Because, hey, I've had to have him help me in areas in my life as well. Amen? But the good news is we can change. We can change. We can be. Well, you don't understand. I just got to be me. I want you to be you. Please, please, please be just you. But what I want you to be is to be the redeemed you. I want you to be the redeemed, the sanctified you. In other words, allow Jesus to come in and help you to get rid of all the junk. Right? And here's how the junk goes away. Because the heat gets turned up and all the junk comes to the top where everybody can see it. And then we allow the Holy Spirit to scrape all the junk off the top, discard it, get rid of all the dross. You know that's how they purify gold. They heat up the metal. It brings all the junk to the top. They scrape it off. Does anybody besides me feel like when the Lord's working on you that he's scraping stuff off? It's like, oh, God, that hurt. Oh, God, please stop. He's like, no, I want you purified. Come on, am I telling the truth? But here's the beautiful, here's the good thing. Those God loves, he corrects. He's just trying to make you a pure vessel. Come on. And that's what I want. I would take the Lord's correction more than the devil's beating any day. Amen. Because him correcting us, helping us get rid of stuff that we shouldn't be in our life, knowing that we're redeemed from it, just makes us a stronger believer and more effective for the kingdom. Amen. All right. I need to wrap this up. All right. So let me. Okay. I got to wrap this up. All right. So let me give you this real quick. Romans, what verse did we just read? 17? Okay, thank God, glory to God. You know, once you were slaves, but now you're wholeheartedly obeyed him. Okay, so let's go to verse 20. Verse 20 says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. Okay, so that's just another verse I wanted to show you that we used to be slaves to sin, but we've been delivered and made free from the slavery of sin. We don't have to allow the devil to shove our head. Come on. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. We don't have to allow the devil to shove our head back and shove anything down our throat. See, the devil wants to put all kinds of junk in your mouth. A lot of people are doing this. Sometimes they just need to. Just because you feel like saying it don't mean it needs to be said. Amen. Glory to God. I feel like a puppet guy up here. Just right. Come on. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that right now. I'm sure we'll visit other things as we go. Now, next week, now I better take a head count. I want to see who's not here next week. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's look at this, though. Because when he says, in these verses where he says, you were slaves to sin. Let's just look at that word slave. That comes from the Greek word doulos, and it's slave, servant. It's the same word, depending on what translation you're reading. Now, watch this. This word is the most abject term for a slave in the New Testament. Now, watch this. You know how we talk about abject poverty, right? So it's the most abject word for slavery, abject slavery. Now, watch this. This is what it means. One, totally sold into slavery, a perpetual slave for life. And he says we're no longer that, which means we used to be that. But Jesus' blood came and delivered us from that. What else did he deliver us from? So one, totally sold into slavery, totally and completely. A perpetual slave for life, one bound to do the bidding of his owner. So in other words, on the other side, without the blood of Jesus on your life, you're like it or not, you can think you're your own person if you want to, but without coming to Jesus, without giving Jesus your life and allowing his blood to cleanse you, you're going to do what the devil wants, whether you like it or not. Now, you can argue that all you want. No, I'm my own person. Listen, your servant, there's only two. There's God and there's the devil. There's only two. You're serving one or the other. So if you're not surrendering to God, then you're surrendering to the enemy and you don't even realize it. All right? So and outside of the blood of Jesus, you are bound to do the bidding of your owner, which is Satan. This word also means a slave whose principal task was to fulfill the desires of his master for the rest of his life. This servant's existence was to service his master in whatever way the master asked or demanded him to do it. That's why the enemy, historically, he takes you from one vice to the next vice to the next vice to the next vice. Whatever, it can be anxiety, it can be sickness and disease, it can be anger. I ain't got time to get on that right now. But I think you're getting my point. He takes you from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. Because outside of the blood of Jesus, we have no power over it. We have, without giving our life to Jesus, we have no power over against the enemy. The only thing that in this earth that is more powerful than the dictates of the enemy is the blood of Jesus. That's why we talk about pleading the blood. What does it mean, plead the blood? I say this, Father, I just stand before the courts of heaven today. And I decree and declare that I'm under the blood, so the devil can't be doing this mess. He's trying to do it, but you see that? Lord, do you see that? The Lord's like, I got you. Yeah, I see it. Now that I know that you know what's yours, I can do something about it. Amen? The last thing it says about that word is that it's a picture of one whose will is completely swallowed up in the will of another. So we have no choice except for the blood of Jesus. Amen. Then Jesus came. Jesus came, and the reason Paul used this verbiage is to help us see this was the kind of slavery we were in before he came. But then Jesus shows up and says, all that slavery right there, I'm giving my life. I am allowing my blood to be shed to free you from all of that. Not only all of that of the doing, but all of the effects that it's already had in your life. Maybe you did some things in your life before Christ and it caused you some problems, maybe through drug use or whatever. Jesus can fix it all. He can even fix the very effect. It reminds me, I was talking to Heather today, it reminds me of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the fiery furnace. The Bible says they came out, and when they came out, they didn't even have the smell of smoke from a fiery furnace. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on their clothes. And the only thing the fire burned was the ropes that were binding them. And that's what the blood of Jesus does for us. That's what the blood of Jesus. He removes the ropes that bind you, and he can heal you from any of the effects that was on you before you came to him. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? Yes. Hallelujah. One last thing. But I'm not going to preach on it because I'm saving it for next week. But I'm just going to tell you. The other thing that the blood of Jesus did, he didn't just come to deliver you from sin, but his blood came to set you free. And that comes from the Greek word ex, whatever that word is that I use. I can't remember what agorizo. Ex agorizo means to not just deliver you from it, but to set you free, to actually set you into freedom. And you don't want to miss that one. That's going to be awesome next week. Stand up on your feet.